A widow recently married a widower, and soon after the marriage, she was approached by a friend who laughingly remarked, "I suppose, like all men who have been married before, your husband sometimes talks about his first wife." The widow shook her head and said, "Oh, not anymore, he doesn't." And her friend said, "Well, what stopped him?" And the widow said, "I started talking about my next husband." We have here a parable spoken to the unbelieving chief priests and elders of the people. And it is a history of the Israelite people told in parable form. And as a matter of fact, I think it's more an allegory than a parable, as each of the persons and incidents described point to real persons and real events. But as with all prophecy, it also is for us. "Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to other tenants who will produce its fruits." The key element in our Lord's statement here is the phrase "kingdom of God," which is not a place. Rather, the word "kingdom" is translated from the Greek word basileia, which means royal power, kingship, dominion, rule, not to be confused with an actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. And this is confirmed by many lexicons and many commentaries. But for us, it is that reminder that those who persevere with the Lord, producing the fruits of the kingdom, will wear a crown of life and will rule with him on a throne, ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel. And so it is not describing a place, it is describing a consciousness whereby Almighty God is being accepted as the ruler and the only one that we should ultimately truly rely upon. This consciousness takes place regardless of whether a person is within the spiritual or the physical world. This notion of our Lord's reference to his kingdom is confirmed by the fact that Jesus is stating it can be taken away. How can a location be taken away from someone? But the consciousness of relying upon the supreme being can be taken away, and we see it happening every day as more and more people are turning to atheism. But as the hope is expressed, it will be given to a people who will produce its fruit. And the fruit that our Lord is referring to here, this metaphorical fruit, is the fruit related to the exchange of a relationship. And how do people who have a relationship exchange in that relationship? Well, our Lord has defined that for us as our sovereign Lord, and that is service. As the Son of Man who came to serve and not be served, and to give his life as a ransom for many. It is through service that we come to recognize the depth of our love for another. For a person who loves another will automatically want to serve that person. They will want to do what pleases that person. They will, when they find out what pleases them, they will do that activity with their whole heart. Just as the Lord gave himself for us on the cross, did not withhold anything from us, shed his last drop of blood for us, what more can he do, as he tells us in the first reading? Recognizing as he comes to sow this word within us, it is received in four ways, only one of which bears fruit. Brothers and sisters, in this last couple years, we have experienced the fear and the isolation of COVID. And it's understandable that people wanted to keep themselves and others around them safe. But there comes a time where we have to wake up and remember the Lord is expecting a produce, a harvest from us. And it's not good for those who say no. And it's my job to be the point of the plow. It's not a fun job, but just as every farmer knows in the springtime when the earth has been hard packed by a long and cold winter, if the farmer's going to sow the seed, he's not going to sow it on a hardened ground. He is going to take the plow to it, upset the soil, turn it over so that it can receive this seed and produce fruit. I cannot tell God no. But what I've come to recognize is that that's even not a sufficient response to the Lord, because I would think it's a thankless job that I don't really want to do, but I have to do it. But that speaks to me of just dry obligation. What the Lord invites me to is to recognize my heart can go so much further by recognizing I can do this out of love for him and love for you. To build the kingdom that promises us so much, once again, that the Lord has given everything he has for us and continues to pour out that grace and that life in this Eucharist and in all of the sacraments of the church. For the Lord says, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. But he can only finish it with us. And he has entrusted so much to us. We have recently reinvigorated our pastoral council, which is meant to set the direction of this parish, to increase its life. But so many who are being asked to be involved are saying no. And I understand that the things of the world can take precedence. But once again, as the first reading reminds us, that becomes a vineyard that is filled with thorns and thistles, that is not producing a harvest for the Lord, but sour grapes. That is not a good thing. But when we recognize just what we have here, what so many generations of faithful disciples have built for us to continue that work for the glory of the Lord, recognizing what we have here and just how much he has done for us and continues to pour out for us, that we should reconsider saying no and say yes. For he has given each and every one of us some kind of gift in order to build up the whole body of Christ, but in a specific way, this parish family. We would love to bring the cup back, but we are not able to produce enough Eucharistic ministers that it wouldn't be the same people week after week having to come to all of the masses. And people get burned out when they have to shoulder the whole load. So I will be asking you, I promise I won't nag you, but I will just mention it once every time I see you, that the Lord needs help here. And the only one who can answer yes to that help is you. And that, once again, we are able to do this not because of dry obligation, but by opening our hearts to the depth of love that God showers upon us. All parishes are struggling, but they are starting to wake up to field all of the necessary ministries and supports to make a parish family thrive and grow. And this ultimately becomes the sign of someone who loves another. They will work to please the one they love. For loving service keeps us directed to the kingdom, which we can only lose by our choice to leave it.